bones are the feet of him who brings good news. Oh, good news, announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness. Yes, our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns. Our God reigns. It was our sin and guilt that bruised and wounded him. It was our sin that brought him down. When we like sheep had gone astray, our shepherd came, and on his shoulders bore our shame. Sing with me now. Oh, our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns. Oh, our God. Stately form he had, no majesty that we should be drawn to him. He was despised, and we took no account of him. Yet now he reigns. Glory. Oh, the Most High, with all your hearts now. Oh, and our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns. Dumb as a sheep before its shear, his life ran down upon the ground like pouring rain, that we might be again now. Sing it. Yes, our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns. Our God reigns. Amen. Do you love him? Hallelujah. So good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Friend, I pray that in some way, some word, form, or deed, or song, that you can let whatever is bothering you today, you can let it go. You can just find yourself liberty in Jesus. Why don't you just join with me? I'd like to sing that song, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. And I'm so glad you came to save us. From heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my death to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high.
Amen. Let's sing it again.
Lord, I lift your name on high. I love to sing your praises. And I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us.
Amen.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my death. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Once again now.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Let's just praise him now.
Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Oh, you came.
Give him a hand of praise tonight.
Amen. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus.
Amen. Let's sing that song, Majesty. Worship His Majesty.
Majesty. Worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be our glory.
worship His majesty. Jesus, who died, now glorified, King of all kings. And Jesus, who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Amen. Why don't we sing one more before we change the order of our service? I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
I have heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that He would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. Son of God, they would not deny, like a great angelic fire scene. I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength. We'll seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Now the years have come, and the years have gone, but the cause of Jesus still goes on. Now the time has come to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross. So one by one, let us live our lives for the one who died to give us life, till the trumpet sounds on. That final day, let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Amen. Do you love Him tonight?
Yes.
Amen. Why don't we change the order of our service? Have a few needs to bring before the church. Some of these have been mentioned this morning. We'll continue to remember those special needs in prayer. Musicians, play something softly, please. Have a request here. It says, please remember Brother Billy Ivory in prayer this morning. He hasn't felt well since Friday. So let's remember Brother Billy Ivory in prayer with that special need. Have another one here from Sister Sarah Buchanan. It says, please remember my great nephew who was born Friday. He was born with a heart murmur and is undergoing tests to determine what needs to be done for any corrective procedures. Amen. Let's pray that God would touch this young baby and he wouldn't have to undergo any corrective procedures. Amen. I believe God can handle this need more than adequate. Amen. My God is bigger than that situation. Have announcements. Sister Kristen and Josh Godwin, they're moving Saturday, November the 3rd, and would appreciate any help. So if you could help them, please contact Brother Josh or Sister Kristen. Amen. I know what it's like to have to move. Just went through that myself. Amen. Have an announcement here. It says, thank you for remembering my grandmother, Mary Hoddle in prayer. During her surgery Friday, the doctor was very pleased with how everything went. She has about a 3-month recovery ahead of her, and that's Sister Rachel Pritchard. Man, so we're good to hear the good report. Amen. I believe that's all the needs that I have up here at this time. I'd like to ask Brother David if he would come forward and take these needs before the Lord. Any unspoken prayer requests by uplifting of hands? God knows the needs on your hearts. For the sake of time, I'd like to ask our deacons to come forward. And we'll also pray over the offering. Remember, tonight is a mission offering. So you just feel free to give us unto the Lord. Trust that your tithes and offerings go to spread the gospel in other countries. Amen. Brother Josh.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we'd like to thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to assemble together once again, dear Lord. We ask that all the prayer requests that are mentioned, dear Lord, we're glad to know the great physician, dear Lord. He'll heal heart murmurs, speed recoveries, dear Lord. And not feeling well, dear Lord, just bless Brother Billy as he's at home, dear Lord. Hopefully he's able to stream the service, dear Lord, and all the other streamers, dear Lord. Just give them a special touch because we know that they long to be here, dear Lord. They long to be with the bride, dear Lord. And we also ask for to bless the tithes and offerings, dear Lord. May them go overseas, dear Lord, and do your work. And all these things we ask in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother. You may have your seats. Sing a special just before the Buchanan family comes up to or sing a song just before they come up for a special. Amen. Let's sing that song, Hosanna, Blessed.
Oh, glory, glory to His name. He lives and reigns forevermore. Oh, glory, glory to His name. He lives and reigns forevermore. Hosanna, blessed Blessed be the rock of my salvation, Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, for He is worthy to be praised.
Amen.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, for He is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, Jehovah Jireh is His name, for He provideth all my need. Jehovah Jireh is His name. He provideth all my need. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation.
Amen. Hallelujah. Buchanan family, come at this time to give us a special. Amen.
Many years ago, when I was just a little fella, I say many years ago because it was close to 40 years ago, I used to spend the summers with my little granny, and she was when she would clean house, she would always play some kind of gospel music playing. There was one song in particular that she really liked, and she played it a lot, and she would sing to it while she cleaned house, and I always liked it because I thought it was a real catchy tune. But once I got older and I got my own experience with the Lord, and I listened to this song one day, and I heard the words, and the words, then I understood why she liked this song. Now this is an old song, so some of you older ones will probably know it, but just listen to the words to it. It says, "Onward I'm going, happy and knowing that Jesus is mine."
I'm so happy as I travel on the right road to glory land, and I'm living so my life for Jesus will shine. I'm rejoicing as I'm singing, traveling with an angel band. There's no sorrow in my heart, for Jesus is mine. Shouting and raising voices of praise.
That's special. Let's all stand. Sing a song just before we turn it over to Brother Barry and let him give Brother Diggs an introduction, which he probably doesn't really need around here, amen, but we're certainly glad to have Brother Diggs, amen. Let's sing that song, When the Redeemed Are Gathering In. I am thinking of a rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. I will raise a heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathered in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin, I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. There will be a great procession odor on the streets of gold when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, for the city will be rolled when the redeemed are gathered in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin, I will shout, I will sing. Gathering in, saints will sing redemption's story with their voices clear and strong. When the redeemed are gathering in, when the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song. When the redeemed are gathering in, oh, when the redeemed gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in.
Glad you're redeemed. You may be seated. God bless you. I am not going to be lengthy at all. I just wanted to welcome all of you in the name of the Lord Jesus and appreciate you all being here for our service tonight and for coming back. It's always an encouraging thing. We welcome all of our folks who are streaming. And I didn't look at the entire list here this evening, but we had people streaming today from India, from places in Europe and in Canada, and it's just a real encouragement. And many people say they just love the worship and the singing, and it's a blessing to people in foreign countries. And I will just say this, that Brother Joel and Sister Ruth Franklin and their family sure enjoy it. And Andrew Sylvester and Sister Caitlin, and I was with them on Wednesday night in Phoenix, and they were just telling me that they just so depend on the streaming. And the Franklins, that's early in the morning for them, about 3 hours earlier than their service. And so they just put it on, crank it up while everybody's getting ready for service, and they listen to it going right out the door and all the way to church. So we sure miss them, and they send their love and their regards out. And I think Andrew and Caitlin are going to be out around Christmas time, right, in December. And so we miss them. Be good to see them. Sister Greg is not with us tonight. She's home tonight. Want to continue to remember Sister Greg for sure. Miss that Irish family. And they promised me this is their last trip of the year, so we miss them. The Joy Banquet is next week, right? We didn't announce that? Did we announce that? We didn't announce that. Don't you have a secretary? That's November 3rd, next Saturday night at 6 o'clock, right? Okay. What? Sharp. 6 o'clock sharp for the joy banquet. I wanted to just add this little piece here about Sister Rachel Pritchard's grandmother. And she had quite a serious operation. Tell me again how old she is. 83. Good Virginia stock there. And had major surgery, partial organs removed, and so forth to deal with cancer issues there. But she has several months of recovery ahead of her, but did very well. And it was just really glad to hear that report. And Sister Rachel, we'll sure be praying for her and for your mom and all those involved there in helping her recover. And that's pretty remarkable, really, when you think about it and the complications that she had. So it's really good to hear that. I forgot to mention this in the update that I sent out this week, but Josh Godwin had his PE exam this week and did it, I think, on Friday. And they're not here. They went to visit their Josh's parents, the other side of North Carolina, and they're not here. So that's where they are, and then they're moving next week. So they were asking for some help there. We are always glad to have Brother Diggs to come by. Brother Diggs has been through some difficult, unique experiences over the last several months, and because he is a person who have confidence in and a person who has been a blessing to us over the years, I've been monitoring and following and staying in contact with him and trying to do what I could to encourage him a little. And so we're honored to have him with us tonight, and I just trust that he will, as I know he does, minister from his heart, and I know you'll be blessed. So with that, let's stand to our feet this evening, and we're going to invite him to come and take the service tonight. Amazing Grace shall always be my song of praise. Let's sing it tonight. You pull on the gift now. You're good at making it easy for the minister to minister, so just continue to do that tonight. Amazing Grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know
and lay them at your feet. But Lord, let our hearts be molded and shaped into your perfect will for our lives. Lord, we pray that you would bless the service. Lord, we know that you're among us, for your word says wherever two or three believers are gathered, you're also in the midst. Lord, so we take you at your word tonight. So, Lord, let our mindsets, let our thoughts, Lord, interact with the Word, and therefore become the Word, Lord. Let us create an atmosphere where your Spirit is welcome, Lord, and that you could fulfill your desires and your thoughts that you have concerning us. Lord, we pray that you continue to bless the pastor here, Brother Barry, Lord, and the church and his family, and church family, Lord, and all those who are connected with this ministry, Lord. And we give you all the honor, glory, and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. The church say amen. Amen. It's good to be here. I certainly appreciate your pastor. Amen. And like he said, you know, sometimes when you're talking to Brother Barry, you feel like you're finna be disciplined. I know when we first met, you know, I kind of thought this is gonna be kind of rough. But you know, as I got to know him, amen, he's a very, very likable guy. And I appreciate him. I really do. I appreciate Brother Barry. Amen. I appreciate all of you. But most of all, we appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what's so special about God, none of us are the same. You know, but we're all reflecting a part of God. So that's what we have to realize. You know, no matter what you may think about somebody, if that person is saved and born again with the Spirit of the Lord, that's a part of God. So you have to be careful how you treat that part of God. Amen. But that'll be all the singing. Let's get right into the Word of God. I don't want to hold you long tonight, but we just want to encourage your hearts. Amen. You have your Bibles. Let's turn to the book of Psalms 135. You know, as I read these scriptures, it may seem like it's going to be a stinger, but we're going somewhere. You know, a lot of times people think with the vantage, oh, he come, he going to whip us, and you know, and all this stuff. But let's just see how the Lord will lead. Psalms 135, and let's just start reading at verse 15. 135 and 15. The Bible says, the idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Let's go to Mark, the 6th chapter. Mark 6. Let's start at verse 1. Mark 6 and 1. He went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence have this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty works, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You can have your seats. Amen. You know, tonight, by the grace of God, I want to use for a subject the image of God. The image of God. Now, when we think of the image of God. You know, I don't want to, by God's grace, I don't want to, I want this to be spiritual, but I kind of want to deal in a natural realm. Amen. You know, when we're thinking of the image of God. One thing about an image, you know, if it has an impression on you, it'll stick with you. You know, that's why people that, you know, those that who watch horror pictures and things and it gets in their spirit and they go to sleep, they have nightmares. You know why? Because that image of what they saw stayed with them. And, you know, that image, it affects their sleep. You know, and sometimes it torments them. And different images through life, it'll go with you, you know, no matter how old you get or where you go. Those images impressed in your mind will stay with you. You know, there are some people who get in car accidents and the images of getting in those accidents stay with them, so they drive with fear. You know, and it's not that they can't drive. It's just that the images of what they're thinking about stays with them. And those images begin to affect their lifestyle. But, you know, when I think, you know, the way I begin to think about this and I want to arouse a question to us. When we think of the image of God, what do we see? What do we think about when we think about the image of God? You know, it is very easy to say that God is a spirit, and that's what I see when I think about God. But it has to become a little bit more personal than that. Amen. You know, because anybody can say that God is a spirit. Can you see that spirit? And most of us, you know, we can't see with our natural eyes the spirit of God. But we can see that spirit using somebody. Amen. So we can see the image of the Holy Ghost and different things as God goes forward. Amen. But, you know, as I thought right here in the book of Mark and how they looked at Jesus. But before I go here, let's go back to look, you know, how the people, how the heathen, how they came up with their images. Amen. You know, the Bible says that the heathen's image is made of gold and silver. You know, and that it had hands, but it couldn't feel, and eyes, and it couldn't see, and ears, and it couldn't hear. Why would you want to serve a God like that? You know, that image is no good to your journey. That kind of image to a God is no more than just a statue. And that's what those heathens worship. Amen. They worship a statue that couldn't, hallelujah, feel what they was going through. They worship a statue, hallelujah, that couldn't hear them when they went down to pray, hallelujah. They worship a statue who they couldn't even feel his presence. What kind of image is that? What kind of relationship is that when it comes to a God? And I don't know about you, but church, we're in a time where we got to know God. We got to know who we serve. So sometimes, amen, God is in the business of shocking us, amen. And I want to say to you tonight, get out of your routine. Hallelujah. Because sometimes a routine is good, and sometimes a routine will make you spiritually stagnant. Because you get into the place to where you do things, and you do it, and it becomes common, and then there's no feeling in it. Hallelujah. And when there's no feeling in it, there's no life. And when there's no life, there's no joy. Hallelujah. Then what good is it? Hallelujah. And you think about us on our spiritual journey. If you're here tonight by routine, just because it's a Sunday night, you're here for the wrong reason. You should have a greater image in your mind of what the service is supposed to be. Because we're worshiping a living God. And you know, I don't know about you, but you know, it blew me away when I began to study these heathen images that the people, the heathens came up with. And you know where it took me? You know, in one of the first places where we could see the people creating their own image of God. You know that God brought them out through the inspiration and the word of a prophet named Moses. Hallelujah. And God was showing them what his image is all about through the attribute of deliverance. Hallelujah. And you know, God took them through a path. Now, I want you to look at this church. They really desired deliverance, but God didn't give it to them all at once. And that's one thing about God. I believe, I don't know about you, but God is teaching me to be patient. He's teaching me to wait, because there are some things that you can't control. There are some things that you can't change. Hallelujah. So you have to have an image of God in your mind to know that He is a deliverer. Amen. Hallelujah. You have to have an image of God to know that He can't fail. You have to have an image of God to know that He can't lie. Hallelujah. And when things get testy, when things get tried, hallelujah, and you may be, hallelujah, looking a certain way in people's eyes, you have to know, hallelujah, who God is. Amen. And one thing about God, God will bring each and every one of us to where we have to answer that question. Of knowing who He is. And He's more than just a quote you can read. He's more than just a scripture that you can just look at. But He's a person. Hallelujah. He's a reality. Hallelujah. And God, hallelujah, wants us to come into the reality of who He is. And if you look at the word image, it has a lot of different definitions. But the one that caught me is, you know, I kind of like this definition. It says a mental, hallelujah, a mental representation of something previously perceived in the absence of the original. Whew. That's a powerful image. When you can still see God in the midst of everything you do. When you can still see God on your Christian journey, although there may be no natural evidence. That's when the image becomes alive. Hallelujah. And you know, as I look and I begin to think, what did the people see when they were looking at Jesus? You know what I said? Jesus began to talk, and He was in the synagogue, and He was preaching wisdom and all these things. And they looked at it, and they said, where did He get this wisdom from? And then the next thing they said, is this not the top of the sun? Did you see how they saw God? They looked at God as no more than just a carpenter. That's the image they had in their mind. Now, when you go through a trial, what do you have in your mind? Some people go through things and they say, God ain't with me. Of course, if you're thinking that, of course He ain't going to be. You're creating your own God up here. Hallelujah. So you have to come to a place to where your thoughts can reflect who God really is. And you see the people right here. Jesus went back to His own country and they say, hey, is this not the carpenter? He was more than just a man. And they acknowledge how much wisdom He had. They acknowledge that He spoke like no other. And they say, hey, there go His sisters. There go His brothers. Then the Bible says, and they were offended. They were offended. Why? Because He knew who He was. Hallelujah. Go ahead. And how often are people offended when you know who you are? You can look at the Bible like some of the things Brother Barry was saying this morning that was so evident. And you can preach on truth like that, and some people get offended because you can see the image of God in the Word. You can see what God was saying. Don't touch this. My God wouldn't touch that. I can see it. My God wouldn't say that. I can see it. My God wouldn't do that. I can see it. Hallelujah. The image of God in your mind being reflected through your life. You know, church, I've been, by the grace of God, I've been, you know, just being aware of all the storms that's taking place. Storm over here, storm over there. And in the Carolinas, you know, storms usually don't get up this far. They normally tear up Louisiana or Florida, and we good. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but Columbia is a special place. You know, it's just some kind of way when things are forecast, it can be coming from Charleston or it can be coming from Atlanta. And, you know, and by the time it'll come through Atlanta and get to Augusta, and some kind of way a wind catches it and takes it up north. And it never hits Columbia. But we'll get forecast of it. But it won't hit. But you know, storms come and storms will tear up things. Hallelujah. That's when you got to know where your foundation is. Hallelujah. Because you can take a house that's built, hallelujah, and it's nice and pretty, and a storm will come and tear up windows, tear up the roof. But if the foundation is solid, you can always rebuild. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And sometimes in our Christian journey, God will let the devil bust out a window. That don't mean the house is not livable. That just means you got to do some repair. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes God will let a storm come and sweep off some of the shingles. Then you get a leak in the house. That don't mean the house is not livable. That just means you got to repair the roof. Hallelujah. And sometimes a storm will come and blow, hallelujah, a whole wall down. You might can't live in it like that. But you know, if the foundation is solid, you can always rebuild. Hallelujah. But the greatest thing about a house, hallelujah, is to have equity in that house. Hooray. When you got equity in that house, you can pull something out of it, hallelujah, to fix a pool. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can pull some equity out of the house to fix all your problems, church. We're not just coming to church. We got equity in this. Amen. Hallelujah. So when you go through tough times, amen, with things you can't explain, you don't know why it's happening, that's when you need to get down on your knees and pull out some of that spiritual equity and say, God, I need you. Hallelujah. See, my problem is, I was saying this at our church last week. I said, my problem is, I read how different folks in the Bible had problems. And they went to God in prayer. And God answered. Church, he answered. And in some places, he answered immediately. Now, I got those kind of images in my mind. Hallelujah. That when I go down to God in prayer, I expect him to answer. Hallelujah. Because we don't serve an idol God. We don't serve a God that cannot speak. We don't serve a God that cannot hear or cannot touch. But we serve a God who knows everything we're going through. And some of those things are not explainable. That's what I'm learning, Brother Keith. That's what I'm learning about God. God will allow things to happen in your life that you can't explain, just so he can get glory. Because if you could explain it, there's no reason to trust him. If you could explain it, hallelujah, we don't need the element of faith, hallelujah. But because we can't explain it, hallelujah, it causes a more desperation in our lives. Hallelujah. Now when you got equity, you're not just going to let somebody come and take that house. You gonna say, no, I've been here a long time. I done paid my payments. Amen. My name is on the title. All these things. And I ain't going down without a fight. Hallelujah. And those are the stands we have to take. Hallelujah. But let's look at the image a little bit. But let's go back to the storm. You know, a storm can come. And it can blow your house. It can tear some things. And you know, one thing about a storm, it always gets people to talk. I always get people to talking. Oh, boy, again, love Columbia. Oh, we're gonna have snow is in the forecast. And the kids are like, woo, yeah. Because they know just by that forecast, they're going to be out of school. Yeah. Amen. No promise of snow. No promise of it. Hadn't even seen any of the snow, but just the talking of it causes the people to react, the governor and all these people to react a certain way, hallelujah, at just the sounding of it, amen. And sometimes gossip and chatter cause people to react a certain way, and it ain't nothing like what you think. Woo! looking at it on the outside, and you got an image in your mind. See, they got an image in their mind what happened the last time they forecast snow and they didn't pay any attention, and 2 inches came and the buses ran off the road. Now they got the image in their mind. So just the forecast of it, they're like, hey, we're going to let everybody out of school. Last time we just had, what was the two hurricanes? Michael and what else? Florence. Michael and Florence. Which one was first? Florence? Which one was first? Florence. Florence was first. See, the reason why I don't know? Because I wasn't affected. Oh! Reason why I don't know the name of that storm? Because it has no effect on my memory. I don't have an image of it. Hallelujah. But I guarantee you, those people whose houses got flooded, hallelujah, they can remember that storm. They can remember the destruction. They can remember, hallelujah, all the time and sweat that they put in for their dreams and dream houses and all these things to be swept away. They'll carry that image in their mind to every storm. And you know, hallelujah, when God does something for you, you have to carry the same image of God in your mind. Hallelujah. If God ever healed you from a sickness, when another sickness comes, you reflect back to that same old healing power. Hallelujah. You stand your ground and you say, God, you did it before in my last storm. I know you can do it for this one. Hallelujah. And that image of God will never change if you have the right attitude. For us, when it hit land, it's just a tropical storm. And you know what? I think Florence, we didn't even get no thunderstorms. It turned into a nice day. Nice and breezy. And you know, you could be looking at somebody going through the storm. This is very comical to me, Brother Barry. You know, people can watch you go through a storm, and they're looking at you like they're waiting on you to backslide. They're looking at you like, I can't believe she's still in church. I can't believe they still singing songs. They still worshiping. Well, let me tell you, what else is a child of God supposed to do? Hallelujah. In the midst of the storm is supposed to bring out who you really are. Glory. The storm is supposed to show everybody what you got inside. Amen. So that God can get glory. Amen. Just because they got 2 million people on the highway evacuating, remember, there were some people who stayed behind. There were some people who said, hey, I've been through the last storm, and I'm going to survive this one. Yeah. Go ahead. But you know, the thing that catches me, you know, about a storm, you know, you can go through a storm, and people watch you, and they're perceiving how you should. God has already told you everything going to be all right. Woo! Hooray! And you're looking at that person and say, boy, it looked bad. The situation looked bad. But God has already told them it's going to be all right. Hooray! Hallelujah! So they're looking at you like, what's going on with him? But you got an image of God in your mind that says victory. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And I don't know about y'all, but by the grace of God, I ain't going to never give the devil what he want to see. Do I got a witness in here? I ain't built like that, hallelujah, to make the devil happy. I ain't built to give him satisfaction, hallelujah. When he mess with me, he's in for a fight. It may look like I'm losing, but you got to realize what I'm thinking about. The image I got in my mind, hallelujah. Because one thing about going through a war, there's a lot of bombs thrown, a lot of shooting. Some people are casualties, but you live to fight another day. Hallelujah. And as long as you wake up, hallelujah, you wake up with the mindset that God is in control. Hallelujah. Now, what do you think about in the midst of your storm? Whew. A lot of times we say, why me? And I answer that for you. Why not you? We all say, I want to be like Jesus. How you going to be like Jesus with no crucifixion? I got a quote in here where the prophet of God, he says, what the storms of life is all about is trying to get you to a self-crucifixion. God's trying to get you to a place to where you die to your own thoughts. And the only thing, the only image you got in your mind is the image of God and what He's already done for you. Do you know we got scripture that says the battle is not yours? Now, I don't know how y'all act when God tell you not to fight. God says, hey, the battle is not yours, but it's mine. But you know, some of us jump out there and we're like, God, I just want to hit the devil one time. He said the battle ain't yours. And the hardest thing to do in the battle is to let go. You know why? Because we got so much revelation. We got so much of God explained, exposed, laying right before us. Till we want to help him. And sometimes God's like, no, I didn't tell you I got this. He told him, hey, the battle not yours, it's mine. He said, but what I want you to do, I want you to come to the battle, but you ain't going to fight. Glory to God. Oh, my. Think about that, church. Hallelujah. You go to the doctor. Doctor say you got cancer. But then God said, I told you, you healed. You ought to go in that office with a smile on your face. I think I told y'all this a couple months ago. I went to the doctor. They told me I had diabetes. I said, who? Get real Southern. I got real Southern. How's that? Say that again now. Oh, Mr. Diggs, you got diabetes. I looked at the nurse, practitioner, whoever she was, whatever you call it. I don't know the right terms. And nurses don't get offended. Doctors don't get offended. But I'll be one of your worst patients. Because I won't believe nothing you tell me. I got a different image in my mind. I got an image of Calvary's cross. I got an image of Isaiah 53, hallelujah, that's already told me that I'm healed, hallelujah. So no matter what comes up against me in that realm, I got an image in my mind that whatever they're telling me is not true. Hallelujah. And you know, lady, you know when you go, they got this first room they take you to. And you go in that room and she starts to check your ears and check your eyes and do all this stuff, stick your tongue out, say, ah, you know, all these things. And then she says, hey, I want you to take a urine sample. I take a urine sample. She says, oh. Now she got an image in her mind. And she says, oh, you got diabetes. I say, oh. No, I don't. Y'all forgive me. Blame this on your prophet. He says, some men preach, some men teach, and some men dramatize. Hallelujah. But she sang to me, you got diabetes. I said, no, I don't. She said, yes, you do. I said, no, I don't. She says, look at this chart right here. This right here is this and this is that and all these things. And then she started naming all these big words, Brother Wayne. She says, you got glucose, you got fruit toast, light toast, dark toast, all kind of toast. I said, it doesn't matter. No, I don't. And that's what the enemy does. He'll start throwing out things that you can't explain just to get you to reason with him. And once you reason, once he begins to tear down the image you believe in, then you become subject to whatever they're saying. But as long as you stick with what you got in your mind, hallelujah, in your mind that God is a healer, hallelujah, it doesn't matter what they see on their charts. Hallelujah. And you know, she says, I think she really got upset with me. Because they're not used to you telling them how to do their job. And again, she went to all the toast, fruit toast and all the stuff, glucose and East Coast and West Coast. She had all kind of coast in there. You know, and I'm sitting there listening to her, but I'm really not listening to her because I already got what I'm going to say. No. See, I'm like one of those people who go to the timeshare. I already know all I want is Disney tickets. That's the only reason I'm in there, to get your scrambled eggs, your croissants, and your sausage, and those Disney tickets. It doesn't matter how good the product looks. My mind is already made up. I have an image in my mind, and it's called, hallelujah, the Island of Adventure. Hallelujah. So they can take me or ride me on a golf cart and say, oh, look at this. And they have those chocolate chip cookies in the room. Can I get a witness? Come on. I know there's some people in here who think like me. Hallelujah. I know some people in here who have the same image in their mind. So it is possible for us to have the same thoughts concerning God. Go ahead. And you know, I already have my mind made up, so they go through their whole little plan and this and that, and let me show you this. One man told me, he said, look, you look like you don't want to buy that. Hallelujah. I said, you're right. He said, why you come here? I said, Disney. Free Disney. He says, well, I got bosses watching me, so I got to go through the whole spiel. I said, sure, no problem. Let's go. We jump on, we ride through the whole thing. So how you like this? I said, yeah, that's nice. You want something to drink? Yeah, thank you. Chocolate chip cookie? Thank you. What about peanut butter? Thank you. I'm just enjoying the ride. But my mind is already made up. Hallelujah. Amen. No matter what kind of special gift they could give me, or what kind of enticing spirit they can put in front of me, my mind is already made up. Hallelujah. So like Brother Barry was saying, no matter how much the lady comes up and she says, oh, I just love black people. Try to make me feel good. Now she's trying to get me in my feelings. I'm like, oh, yeah, you do. I just love white people. But in my mind, I still have no up there.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Don't let the devil entice you with his treats.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Keep the right image of God in your mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. That he cannot fail. He cannot lose. That victory is already his. Hallelujah. And you know, no doubt, you know, her colleagues and different ones, they were talking about me. Because, you know, she's already upset because they know I ain't going to buy. So, you know, she done told her friends, you know, I got a group. They ain't going to buy nothing. So when I'm riding by, they looking at me funny. It don't bother me. It shouldn't matter how somebody looks at you or how they treat you when you're believing God. Hallelujah. Yeah, we get in our feelings and we want to be loved by everybody. Hallelujah. But sometimes you got to feel forsaken. Because you know what being forsaken does? It drives you closer to God. Hallelujah. Hey. So when it all comes down, you know, we go in and we look at the room and you know, we kind of walk in there with a little extra spunk. You know, we walk in, oh, this is nice. Looking over the balcony and everything. And then she thinks something's changed. Because we got a pep in our step. She really don't know. We're trying to hurry up and get out of there. But just because the walk changes a little bit, that doesn't mean the mind has changed. Hallelujah. But let me go back to the storm, church. One thing about a storm, and I ain't going to be too much longer, but when you look at a storm, let's just take Michael. Michael was the next hurricane that came through, right? Michael, it came through Columbia, you know, but it was just a nice breeze. Nice breeze, a little bit of rain. You know, kids didn't get out of school on that one, but, you know, it was just like a regular little rainstorm. But you know, one thing about a storm can come through, and you say you have a nice big apple tree in your yard. Storm come through, tear up the tree, break some branches, and when the storm is over, the tree sitting there like this. And sometimes storms come, hallelujah, and it hit us real hard, and we come back to church looking like this. Even your friends looking at you, people that used to treat you a certain way, now they're looking at you like you all broke down because you've been in a storm. But one thing I want you to understand, that storm didn't change that apple tree from being an apple tree. Hooray! And when the sun come back out and the seasons come back around, that tree is going to produce apples all over again. Woo! Hallelujah! Church, and that's what I'm saying. The image of God will always produce what it's supposed to produce. Hallelujah. But if I can, well, Blow, don't get nervous. I'm about to close. But what kind of put me in this mind frame? Moses was bringing the children of Israel out under God's leadership. And, you know, they came out powerfully. But look at their mindsets. God can be doing something and you can be missing it because of the way you're thinking. The way you're looking at it. And you know, church, we hate to be tested. But according to God, tests are good. In the message, I know the prophet of God said, we ask God for comfort and peace. And he gives us trials and tribulations. He said, and that's better than comfort and peace. Oh, man. Boy, I ain't got no amens on that one. Oh, God, deliver me. God said, nope. I'm doing something. You can't see it right now. But this trial is going to bring that part of me out of you that I've been looking for. Hallelujah. Hooray. The prophet God said, what did the Hebrew boys' trial do? He said, that trial brought the Son of God right in the midst of them. Hallelujah. That's why he said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. He said, it's more precious than gold tried in the fire. See the mindset. And look at these boys. They said, hey, there's a degree. And we all know this. It may seem elementary. But what I'm trying to do is give you some more weapons while you're going through. Hallelujah. Because we're not going to get out of here without being tested. And some are going to look like they're tested more than others. You know, one thing I've come to realize is that everybody can't be a Paul. Everybody can't be a Peter. Some of us got to be Job. Lord, have mercy. Somebody say, help us, Lord. Because Job, hallelujah, he was living for God with all he could. You know, he wasn't sinning. He wasn't doing nothing wrong. Hallelujah. He, like Brother Barry said this morning, he was raising his family up in a way he could go. And next thing you know, here comes a storm. Broke down. And then here come the message believer friends. I told you. And this is the worst one. I wonder what he did. I wonder what he did. Oh, have you heard? Her child then went wayward and she this and she that. I wonder what she did. And all mama probably was doing was praying. Praying God save my child. You know, a brother told me his one of his daughters went wayward, and he started crying. He started praying and seeking God. And then he asked God a question. He said, Lord, Lord, please, Lord, Lord, why did you let my daughter go out in the world? He said, God responded to him, because when she was little, you dedicated her to me, and then you tried to take her back. Whew. It's like Brother Barry said this morning. We raise children, but then they become teenagers and young adults, and we still think we're raising children. Hallelujah. Just like I heard a wise old sister say, I think it was an old sister, maybe a proverb. But she said, while they're little, be their parent. Because when they get older, you got a lifetime to be their friend. Hallelujah. You know what that mean? When they get 21, you can't put them in time out. Your son will be looking at you, sizing you up. I think my arm's a little bit bigger than daddy's arm. If he put his hands on me, I'm going to show him how strong I am. And some kids, parents, I want you to catch this. Some kids, hallelujah, do not submit to aggression. They will meet your aggression with aggression. And usually the signs of that is when you're telling them to stop in the grocery store and they're like, And you say, okay, Bobby, I'll give it to you here. He says, okay. He studied you. And then no matter how serious you try to get, he has an image in his mind. I know if I act a fool, I'm going to get whatever I want. And your 1-2-3 ain't going to work. I guarantee you, if you're one of them parents who use the 1-2-3 rule, I guarantee you, you always get past 2. Let's be real, church. Amen. That child has an image of your discipline in their mind. And like, you don't stop that, I'm going to give you a spanking. A child like a spanking. Oh, I think I can take that. Oh my. But let me move on. In my day, it wasn't pronounced that nice. It's a child abuse term now. Hallelujah. Some of y'all. Y'all got it made. Y'all got the government protecting y'all. Some of us, it was like we grew up on an Indian reservation. Hallelujah. And if you came out of a single family, your mama was the chief. If you had a mama and a daddy, hallelujah, he was the chief and the mama was the chiefette. And it didn't matter what nobody else was saying. It was whatever they said. Amen. And you kept those images in your mind. Because I knew when I did certain things, I had an image of that last whipping I got. I said, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. And it's the same thing with God. Hallelujah. As you grow and you mature and God teaches you, you keep the images of what God, hallelujah, expects out of you. And that helps you to grow in Christ. People think being a Christian is so hard. It's tough. But what makes it hard is when you try to do it. Being a Christian is a life of surrender. Hallelujah. You know, we got all kind of scriptures. You know, scriptures lately that have really been coming to light to me. Like, hold your peace and let God fight your battles. And then the prophet of God say, you hold your peace, and then God don't never respond. What is he doing? He's proving you. He's seeing whether you really got the right image of him in your mind. Hallelujah. See, one thing I've come to realize, as I've grown in Christians in my earlier stages, I could pray about things, and God give it to me right now. You know why? He's building faith. But in my latter years, my, sometimes like, God, are you hearing me? You know, like Brother Barry was saying, you like, Lord, am I still in your will? You begin to fast and pray, and you begin to question yourself. That's exactly what God wants you. Because that'll make your life more Christ-centered. And sometimes what God does through trials, hallelujah, he's cleaning up the house. Because there are some things that in the long run, it'll catch you if you don't deal with it right there while it's small. But you know, like I said about that tree, the storm can come. It'll tear up the house. It'll tear up the grass. Amen. It'll pick the trailer up, take it down the street. But in the right season, that apple tree will bring forth apples again. Amen. And that's what we are to expect. Hallelujah. But you know, if I can, before I close, listen. As a man, as a Christian man, I love reading about David. Because David, he doesn't give you that perfect man of God. He gives you a man that has, he had error, he had trials, he had victory, he had triumphs. He is like, David, hallelujah, he had everything. But in the midst of all of his ups and his downs, the Bible says he was a man after God's very own heart. Premeditated murder, man after God's own heart. Even though he did that, the image he had in his mind was to repent. That's how we got Psalms 51, created me a clean heart. That tells who the man really is when God gives him space, hallelujah, to deal with the error in his life. Now, what do you do when God gives you space to deal with the error in your life? It should bring out more of God. Amen. But you know, I like reading about David because, you know, I was thinking about my own life. And, you know, you go through trials and tribulations. You go through things. And, you know, what the Lord began to show me about David. You remember David had come back from a battle. I think it was Ziklag. He came back to Ziklag, it's 1 Samuel 30. He came back to Ziklag and the place was burned down by the Amalekites. And all the wives were gone, all the children were gone, but nobody was killed. Are you with me? Now, no doubt, this is my perception. No doubt, the battle that David went to was ordained by God. So God knew what was going to happen while they were absent. And you think, why would God allow that to happen? Just to see what David was going to do. And not only that, just to see what the people around David was going to do. And you know, David comes back, place is burnt down, his wives are gone, you know, here's his soldier, their wives are gone, children are gone, and everybody's looking at David. Everybody's mad. All the people he thought was on his side. So quickly does their image of David change. Because he's going through a trial. You know, probably some of those same people were there saying, Saul kill his thousand, David kill his 10,000. Probably some of those same people were David's cheerleaders when he fought Goliath. They're probably right there saying, yeah, we know David can do it. Woo! But now things are not going their way concerning David. And now David don't look like he's that victor anymore. The image has changed. You know what? When he fought Goliath, you know, when he did some of the previous battles, what did they see in David? They saw God. They saw God. But what happens to us when we see somebody going through a natural battle and we don't see God? Let me tell you something. God is still in it. You're just looking at it wrong. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen, church. The Bible says the footsteps of the righteous are ordered. Hallelujah. So although they were looking at David like he led them wrong, it was right where God wanted them to be. Because one thing you had to realize, hallelujah, David wasn't one of those men who were just like, you ever see some of these gangsters or YouTube pictures where people, they go to a party and men are like, I'm ready to fight. I want to fight somebody. David wasn't one of those men. Just want to go bully, want to beat somebody up because he can't. No. Before he went into the battle, he prayed whether it was God's will. Different, let me see the wind blowing the mulberry trees. Lord, let me see this. Lord, let me see this. And then, even when they took their wives and different things, look at the image David had in his mind. Lord, shall I pursue? But before, and I'm about to close, don't get nervous. Before David asked God, shall he pursue? All the people turned their back on him. And look at the image David had in his mind. The Bible says, and David encouraged himself. Woo! Hallelujah. So sometimes it doesn't matter what somebody else sees. You have to go back to what God has already done for you. Hallelujah. And I can see David right there in that moment saying, Lord, you was with me when I fought that lion. Lord, you was with me when I fought that bear. Lord, you was with me when Saul was trying to kill me. God, I know you're with me right now. And he started to encourage himself. Hallelujah. And he began to put him back in the right frame of mind, even though everybody else around him wanted to kill him. Let me say this. The joy of the Lord in your life is not based on everybody else. It ain't based on a church. It ain't based on a new fellowship hall, which is nice. It ain't based on how good your pastor is, or you know, how good the song service, all that. The joy of the Lord is not based on none of that. The joy of the Lord is based on your personal experience. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to say something that sounds crazy, but it's in the scripture. I want you to catch the image of God now. Catch how we should think. Remember, the disciples went to a certain city, and they were witnessing, and they got caught. They got beat up. Then they got thrown out the city. I believe they got thrown over the wall. Got thrown out the city. I'm in the book, ain't it, Brother Barry? They got beat up, got thrown out of the city. You know what they did? Look at the image in their mind. Hey, glory. Woo, y'all. Hey, we just got beat up for witnessing Jesus Christ. You see the image in their mind, hallelujah. No matter what the natural afflictions were in their body, hallelujah, the revelation of Jesus Christ meant more to them. And we may fall down, we may get beat, we may get whipped. Our life may not, in the moment, may not be explainable, but that shouldn't stop your joy. God cannot lie. God cannot fail. At least somebody's going to rock a chair in here. I'm going to say that again. God cannot lie, and God cannot fail. You know what that means when you catch the revelation of your God can't fail? Hallelujah. You walk right into the middle of a battle knowing you can't be hurt. Oh, Jesus Christ. You know what that'll do for you? Hallelujah. In service, hallelujah. Even when you're going through, you'll come here, you'll sing, you'll worship God, you'll amen the word, because you know you already won. No matter how things may look naturally, you got in your mind, I ain't got diabetes. Hallelujah. Somebody must need that, because I forgot about it, and God bring it back. Let me finish telling the testimony about diabetes. So, I'm sitting in the office, and you know, we went down all the coasts. And she said, Mr. Deeks, you got it. I said, no, I don't. And you know, one thing always bothered me, you know, I know it's a part of your job, nurses. Why do they always get bad news with a smile on their face? You at least look like you care about what you're about to tell me. You know, because I don't know one person who received a signal like, oh, thank you. I'm coming back here again. Tell me what else I got. But you know, they always come out, most nurses. You know, I know it's a part of who they are, you know, and everything. You know, nurses are nice. I remember when I had cancer, I still remember these two nurses, my two nurses, by name. And I remember, and this has been over 20-something years, and I remember their personalities. One was named Joan, and one was named Gloria. And both of their characters were different. Do y'all remember? Hey, I'm kind of going down memory lane, but everybody all right? You know, do y'all remember when I think it was 88, but it was the Olympics, and it was a runner named Flo Jo, Florence Griffin Joyner, and that woman could run, boy. And you know, Gloria used to come in my room like, "Woo, Dante, did you see Flo Jo?" And I'd be like, yeah. She said, "Okay, I need to take some blood." So she'd get me all hyped up, knowing she would have to juke me about 5 times, and I forget about I got to get Jill until I get Jill. But that was just her personality. She knew how to be that kind of person to get my mind off of what I was going through. Hallelujah. But Joan was a little different. Joan was like what Brother Barry was talking about. Joan had that power of touch. She'd come in, beautiful woman too. I was just a young kid. She'd come in and grab my hand. She said, I ain't going to do it to you because you a man. We just going to demonstrate this. We don't want no images in nobody's mind. Yeah, I see you grab her hand a little bit tighter. It's all right. I don't want your man. But anyway. Steven, my buddy, he know what's going on. It's like that film you made about the white knight and the black knight. But anyway. You know, Joan come in, she grabbed my hand, and she started rubbing my hand, rubbing my arm. You just the best patient I ever had. You so strong, I ain't over 15 years old. You so strong, she's saying all the right words, and she said, you ain't like my other patients. They scream, they holler, you all know I don't want to shy, so she's working on my mind. And she done got me all built up like I'm strong, so as much as them needles hurt, I can't show it. Because she got me believing what she said. Now, hallelujah, I'm believing her thoughts. Hallelujah. In church, that's how it ought to be. Amen. What the prophet preached is not just his thoughts, but they're the thoughts of God. So when we read this message, we're not just agreeing with a prophet, we're agreeing with God. Hallelujah. You know, church, from that time, you know, like I said, I can remember those people. I have the images of those two women in my mind 20-something years later. That's how affected I was by their lives. Wouldn't you want to be that kind of Christian? When people see you, they got an image in their mind of God. Not a hypocrite. Not one of those people who get to church and get comfortable all the time. You know, if I ever was a pastor, and it's just me, I know none of y'all can't see that. I can't see these. That's why I say if. But you know, if I was a pastor, I'd change some things. Boy, that's probably why I wouldn't have no members. But I'd get rid of all these comfortable seats. We'd be sitting on aluminum. Ain't nobody getting comfortable. You're going to have to be attentive because you're going to be moving so much. Ain't nothing going to feel good. Sometimes you're going to have to stand up to say amen. I know y'all thinking right now, thank God for Brother Barry. Got those images in your mind. But anyway, I'm trying to close church. But, you know, nurse says, you got diabetes. I'm like, no, I don't. So we're having a smile off. So then she gets upset with me. And she's like, well, the chart says this right here and this blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, whatever, but I ain't got no diabetes. She's like, okay, well, we'll see. Now, I know she got mad because her head didn't start moving and all that stuff. That's when you know somebody got mad. You know, I didn't seen that before. But anyway, she says, okay, go on in that room right there. Now, that's just like the devil. The devil loves to, hallelujah, when you believe in God, he loves for you to be isolated. Put you all by yourself. Why do one of the first thoughts we have when we go through a strong battle is, I'm quitting church. I'm quitting church. I'm going to stop fellowship and everything. Why do we come to that conclusion? Let me tell you something. If you having that thought, if you had that thought, let me tell you something. You ain't hurting nobody but yourself. You storm out of here, I ain't coming back to this place. And everybody looking at you like, what's wrong with them? You ain't hurting nobody. All you're doing is hurting yourself. But the devil knows if he can isolate you, he can steal more of your joy. Hallelujah. If he can isolate you from the word, hallelujah, you can never get any more strength. Hallelujah. That's why I can't believe, I don't see the purpose of staying home when you're sick. I think you ought to come to church. Y'all don't believe that? I know what y'all think. I caught it. I know what you got. It. Sickness means stream. Not in my church. With those aluminum benches. There ain't gonna be no stream. Hope everybody all right. I'm just enjoying Jesus. You guys bring this out of me. Hallelujah. But anyway, I need to close my Bible and my stuff so I can close. Before I finish my testimony, remember God brings the children of Israel out. He brings them out. And it looked like after the first, what it was, turn the water into blood. I think that was the first one. And then he goes back. And Pharaoh's like, okay, y'all can leave. Then he changed his mind. You know, the people started packing their stuff because Moses told them we're going to leave. You know, they started packing up their stuff. Then Pharaoh's like, no, y'all ain't going no way. And then a little bit of air was let out of them. Then he come back, and he does that again at least about 7-8 more times. And the people's expectation was, we're going to leave, and then we ain't going to leave. So then they start developing an image in their mind that Moses ain't the deliverer. Because they didn't get instant gratification. So now, church, they finally do leave. And they left with those still same precepts in their mind. That are we really free? Are we really worshiping the real God? And then Moses, hallelujah, on the other side, goes up to worship God for 40 days. And the people say, hey, we don't know what's up with this Moses. Hey, make us some gods. And look at the image of God that was created, a molten calf. They didn't even make him out of a man. They made an image out of the image of a stinking animal. Whew. Something that can't talk. Something that can't respond back to them. Something that can't feel what they're going through. It wasn't even a kindred of mankind. That was what the people wanted to worship. Where did that come from? Where did that image of God come from? It came from the heathen ideas that they had in Egypt. And although they were delivered, they still had those images in their mind. That's why it's so important to get the Holy Ghost. Because when the Holy Ghost comes, he washes you from all those thoughts. Whew. Is this the carpenter's son? All these images. And the Bible said he couldn't do many, he couldn't do no mighty works there because of what the people were thinking of him in their minds. Church, I don't know about you, but God has been challenging me. He's been challenging me to know him in a greater way. And you know, my prayer, and I know some of the ministers feel the same way, praying to God, that God, Lord, I don't want to be just a gift. Because anybody can be a gift. You can be a gift without repentance. And that gift can be used, and then in that great day, God will say, I know you're not. I don't want to be just a gift. But I want to be the literal manifestation of God. I want to be in his very likeness and image. Hallelujah. But don't let the devil change your thoughts concerning God. Change your image. Let's remember this. Everything bad that happens in your life is not the devil. Some things God is orchestrating. Some things God is telling the enemy, okay, go ahead. But then he's standing back. Before it happened, they make a bet. God telling Satan, I want you to know how special you are. God is telling Satan, it don't matter what you do, they ain't going to stop serving me. Hallelujah. God is testifying over you. Hallelujah. He's proving you by letting the enemy take you through storms. Hallelujah. And you know, church, hallelujah. Remember, God told the prophet in a certain place, he said, you need to be more sincere. Now, it's just me, but I don't believe that the prophet wasn't sincere. But I believe that where God was trying to take him, hallelujah, he had to be even more sincere. And no doubt some of us are in some good places. But let me warn you. He says, even when you're bringing forth fruit, he'll purge you. That you bring forth more fruit. And you know, nobody may understand what you're going through. But God does. Lazarus was serving God. Everything was good. And all of a sudden he got sick and died. They called for Jesus. First thing Jesus said, he's sick and died unto death, but for the glory of God. I'm going to let this happen so I can get glory. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to try to finish up with this testimony. Somebody say amen. Now I'm in a little room. Nurse then told me, go on, I'm tired of talking, you go on around here, doctor coming. So I'm in there waiting. And I know, just because of the kind of person I am, that I ain't going to, Brother Keith, I ain't going to just be able to go to the doctor, and the doctor say, man, everything good, all your levels good, your eyes good, your hearing good, you got a perfect bill of health. Come see me in 2 years. It ain't going down like that with me. It's going to be a fight. Because he don't like me. So, again, I'm in the little room, and I'm waiting on the doctor because the nurse told me, say, doctor coming. So doctor come in, she all nice. How you doing, Mr. Diggs? Smiling again. I say, I'm doing good. How you doing? She says, I'm doing good. She said, well, I look at the paperwork, everything all right? I said, yeah, everything all right. Then she starts reading what the nurse wrote. And she says, oh, says he got diabetes. I say, no, I don't. I still got the same image of God in my mind. They didn't tag team me now. But I'm still all alone, all by myself. Hallelujah. Sometimes, hallelujah, God let it seem like you're all alone by yourself, but he's right there. Hallelujah. Now the lady says, she said, hey, but the paperwork right here says you got diabetes. I say, no, I don't. She said, well, it said this right here and that right there. She said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a blood test. I say, woo! Hallelujah. Church, do you realize what she said? She said, we're going to take a blood test. Now, I want you to look at what I was thinking. Hallelujah. All I could think about was Calvary's cross and the blood of Jesus Christ and being under that blood and the token being applied to my life. So I knew that this test was going to come out all right. Hallelujah. That was the best thing she could have said to me, that we was going to take a blood test. God. And sometimes there are things said just to spark you. Hallelujah. And when she said that, I started smiling. Ooh, she said, you're going to take a blood test. I said, let's do it. And then she walked out of the room. And because I just know the spiritual laws of these things, I stood there, I sat there on my bed, the little thing, the little sheet thing, and I'm sitting there, I say, okay, Satan, now I know where you're at. And God says, I got the power to bind and to loose. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind the spirit of diabetes. That's what was in my mind. What was it? The scripture. That was the image I've had of God. God defeating, amen, everything on Calvary's cross. Hallelujah. And now she comes back in with this little machine. Just the prick of her finger. She comes back in. She says, come on, let's take a blood. Yeah, let's do it. She take it. She can go. De-de-de-de-de. She says, come on. You're right. You don't have diabetes. I said, I told you. Now, I'm going to show you something more powerful than that. She says, this is strange. Because one test is positive and one test is negative. And she's saying, how can this be? And I'm thinking, because I said so. That's the image I got in my mind. The Bible says, whatsoever you say. That's the image of Christ. Where is Christ? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. She knows, so she's sitting there, she's thinking, and she's like, this is a doctor. And I'm just a nobody who just believes God. And she's like, why is one test negative and one test positive? I don't know. All I know is I ain't got it. She says, so what did you eat last night? I said, well, I had some sweet tea and some chocolate chip cookies. And this is what she said. She says, yeah, sweet tea will do that. It'll show up like that. Church, she just admitted to me that what she saw in my body, which what I always said, remember, it's a large sweet tea. Still the same God. Still the same image. Which still will give the same results. And she says, tea will do that. Now, this is the question. This is the question that came in my mind. Hallelujah. If you know it's tea, why are you going to try to change the name to diabetes? That's all the enemy is doing, church. He's just trying to change the name of what you're putting in your body. Don't receive them demonic names. Because remember, hallelujah, when Daniel and the Hebrew boys, hallelujah, were there, right there with Nebuchadnezzar, the first thing they tried to do was change their names. Don't let the enemy change it. Hallelujah. You stand on the word of God. Let the musicians come. Church, and don't worry. God is still in control. One thing I'm noticing is that trials are getting tougher. Amen. Churches are getting thinner. And God is getting more glory. Hallelujah. God is not losing. But we're on the winning side, church. But you need to reflect, hallelujah, the image of God in your mind. And what you believe. Hallelujah. Don't go down without a fight. You know, because God is willing to prove to you who he is. Just stick with, hallelujah, what this word of God says. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to sing that song he was playing earlier. I got my mind made up. Might need to follow my key because I'm not a key guy. I got my mind made up, and I won't turn back.
In the business of shocking us. That's really true. And sometimes, like Brother Diggs was saying, sometimes we blame all of the things that happen to us on the wrong person. And it's really God just trying to reorder things and make things better. And I'll tell you what, whenever God's through dealing with you, you come out a better person. That's really
Amen.
True. Give us an F there, man. I go to the rock of my salvation. Go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. Earth all around is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. When I get a shelter, when I need a friend,
stands by me.
Me.
The world
earth all around
me is sinking sand.
But on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I get
a shelter,
when I need a friend,
I go
to the rock. Every day with Jesus is better than the day. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me. He's the one I'm waiting for. Every day.
made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life.
You know what? That's an easy song to sing. It's even an easy song to sing twice. But I'll tell you something. When you get into the pressure cooker, you get into the difficult times, then I'll tell you what, you got to have more than just the words of a song. Got to have the real thing. I appreciate Brother Ernie's testimony, and his wife was telling me about, you know, just being in that position, all of a sudden thrown into that violent scene and the accident there, and just begins calling on God. Keeps calling on God. Can't do anything else. Calling on God. Here he is today. I'll tell you what, that's a miracle. That ain't nothing but a miracle for him to be standing here. Let's pray together. Thank you, Brother Diggs, for coming. I enjoyed the word tonight. I enjoyed Brother Diggs. Sister Amanda, put your hand on your husband there. Not anywhere sensitive. Father God, we bow in your presence tonight, thanking you because you demonstrate to us over and over again how much you care for us and how good you are to us. Lord, you're mindful of us even in the difficult, violent, hard times that we face in life. You're able to bring us through those upsets. You're able to bring us through the times of shock. You're able, Lord, to sustain us even in the darkest of valleys. May, Lord, your Holy Spirit continue to bless and heal our Brother Ernie, Lord, and Brother Alan, Sister Savannah. All those that need a touch from you, Lord, we commit each one into your care. We want to say, Lord, that we love you. We thank you because you care for us. We thank you, Lord, because you know us. You know our weaknesses, and yet you still love us. Bless our fellowship now, I pray. Lord, as we leave, and just ask your blessing on Brother Diggs and just sustain him, Lord, I pray. Give him strength, vision, courage to face the future. Father, lead us in your will, I pray. Touch Brother Ernie, especially tonight, Lord, here. And may, Lord, you bind up his wounds and commit him into your care. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And amen. We're going to let you go. Don't go anywhere. We're going to let you go there. If you have not signed up for the Joy Dinner and want to attend, please see Brother Julian Ivy over here after service. Dinner is 6 o'clock, November 3rd, sharp, ages 55 and over. Dress is semi-formal, right? You good?
From glory to glory, he's changed.